Well, we're real close to Christmas, so what do you want? I mean, what are you looking for? What's the Christmas gift that you're hoping to get? What is it? You know, it's funny. I'm one of those kind of people that when, people ask me, what do you want? I don't know about you, but I mean, for me, you know, everything I kind of want, I go out and get. You know, I mean, it's like I don't necessarily wait. But there's one thing that I really want this Christmas more than anything else, and it's kind of simple. It's called grace. You know, I could use a little more grace in my life. You know, I don't know about you, but I tend to be hard on myself. You know, I tend to evaluate. I mean, the worst judge of me is usually me. But I also need grace because a lot of the times, you know, I can be a pretty good judge of a lot of other people. You know, I can evaluate them upside down and, you know, and have all kinds of thoughts running through my head. Now, I might not ever tell them that. But, you know, as I've said a million times, this brain is a bad neighborhood to grow up in. It needs neighborhood watch. And I tend to have all kinds of thoughts that go through. And so what I want for Christmas more than anything else is the ability to receive grace, both for myself and for others. You know, the epistle very clearly says that the grace of God has appeared. And that grace of God, and what he's referring to, is, of course, is the Messiah, the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That he came into this world so that we could have that ability to not be so hard on ourselves. He came into this world so that we wouldn't necessarily feel like, well, we had to measure ourselves off against everybody else. And so this grace appeared 2,000 years ago, but I wonder how many of us really access it. I don't know that I do all the time. I mean, I'm one of those kind of people that, to tell you the truth, I don't like it when things don't go my way. You know, some people would say, I'm a control freak. I know none of you would be that way. But there's a lot of times when I like it to be my schedule. I like it to be in order. I like things to go, in a sense, the way I planned them out to go. But the more I experience life and the older I get and experience life, the less things go my way. And so, therefore, the more grace I think I really probably need. Grace to know that God somehow, in the midst of everything that's not seeming to go the way I think it should go, grace to see him in all the things that are around me. Do you ever notice God doesn't usually make an appointment with you? He just kind of interrupts your life. He doesn't cause things to happen, but when things happen, all of a sudden, there's this ability that you have to say, I'm either going to see God in it or I'm not. And if I do see him, things usually then go a little bit better. But if I don't see him in it, well, they go really pretty bad real quick, at least for my sake. You know, I can't believe that anything's new with me. As I, you know, look at the scriptures, especially the story of the birth of Jesus, you want to talk about some people who had their life interrupted, but God showed up? And that was Mary and Joseph. I mean, here's Mary. She's 14 years old, probably. I mean, that's about the age when she'd be betrothed. 14 years old. I mean, she's looking at her whole life ahead of her. You know, I mean, she's looking at, you know, I'm going to be married to this man. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to have all the things that, you know, a young girl at that in that culture in that day would want. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes and says, well, I'm going to overpower you and you're going to have a child. Don't worry. I mean, it's God's child. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. That's what you're going to do. Can you imagine the conversation between she and her parents? I mean, you know, I wonder what it was like. She tells her parents. There's nothing that says at all in the scripture that God talks to them. And yet somehow she tells her parents. You know, I mean, if I was her father, I'd probably be saying, that's your story and you're sticking to it? Then she's got to go and she's got to tell Joseph. And it's real clear that, you know, if she does tell him that God has overshadowed her and that He's the actual father of the child. Joseph's ready to put her away privately because he's a good man. But he's going to just set her aside, let her go. Then God speaks to Joseph. God says, Joseph, you can take this woman to be your wife. You want to talk about some people who had their lives interrupted? I got nothing to compare to that. Nothing. But you see, it's when God interrupts our lives because of an event that takes place, both good and bad, that all of a sudden, sometimes I think we see them a little clearer. When things are just going along smooth, I don't know about you, but I can think, I caused all this to happen. And it's at Christmas that I think we're reminded that God interrupts our lives. He doesn't cause things to happen, especially bad things. But he allows them to happen so somehow he can come through the midst of that sort of brokenness so that we can see him more clearly. Over the years, I've come to the conclusion, you know, God speaks to me more in the dark than he does in the light. You know, when things are going south on me, boy, I tell you what, I can hear his voice real clear. But when things are going great for me, I think, oh, I did it myself, you know. But if you look at your life, how has your life had ups and downs? How has your life been interrupted? And how has God spoken to you in it? You know, I remember about a year ago, my wife was driving down Atlantic and she saw a dog almost get hit by a car. There were some other people trying to get the dog. She finally pulled along and, you know, went to try and help get the dog. At the moment she got there to help get the dog, the rest of the people kind of left. She finally coaxed the dog into the car, and when she got it into the car, there was a lot of issues with it. Its ears had been beaten. It was emaciated, and so she took it right to the vet. And to be honest with you, $800 later, we had a new dog. I'd been praying for a brand new yellow lab puppy. Well, I got a brand new yellow lab puppy that looks like a hound. You know. And it came into my life. But that interruption into my life was such a blessing. I mean, I love that dog. That dog loves me. I mean, he's got the same personality as me. It's great. He's motivated by food. You know, he's genuinely happy, but he doesn't like being told what to do. God interrupted my life by allowing me to have this dog come into my life, and I've learned so much from this dog. You know how that is? When you let something in, if you really pay attention, you learn so much more about who you are. But if you have to have your own way, if it's got to go your way, to tell you the truth, you probably won't let those interruptions do much for you. I remember two years ago, I was out walking the other dogs that we have, and lo and behold, as I'm walking down 26, one of the dogs breaks the harness, it takes off after another stray, the other dog takes off, pulls me to the ground. The only problem I had was I'd just gotten a hip replaced, you know, a couple of weeks before, and when I went down, I broke my femur in three places. You know? It wasn't fun. But you know what? Somehow in the midst of everything, God sort of helped me up, moved me along. I was walking again in 4 weeks, you know? And it taught me something. God taught me something here, is that, you know what, even when things seem to totally fall about for you physically, you know, with his help, you can really come back, you can overpower it, you can come through almost anything, and you might not be exactly the same way as you were before, but somehow he's going to be there for you. I learned how many people, you know, really cared about me in a different way than I'd learned before. You know, he didn't cause that to happen. But I could have stayed resentful. And I could have missed so much of life. But you know what? Somehow I learned. I remember 25 years ago. I got a family. You know, a wife and a 10-year-old son. And I'll never forget that. Hasn't been all smooth, let me tell you right now. You know, I mean, that son who's now 35, I used to always say, he's never done anything I didn't do. Well, I don't know. He's pushing the limits pretty much. But it was in the midst of that family that all of a sudden I started to learn more things about myself and about how, you know, coming together with other people, there's really something that is magic, something that's mysterious, something that goes beyond just having your own way. I realized that, you know, we need each other. It was 29 years ago that I really learned when my life was interrupted. I was a priest already by about 2 years, but things weren't going exactly right in my life, and to be real upfront with you, I came to the conclusion I was an alcoholic, and decided I had to move towards recovery. Man, that was tough. You know, I'd lived one certain way, and now I didn't have that same crutch I used to have, and I had to learn that I couldn't be in control of everything. I used to think that, you know, I could handle anything. I probably could with a couple of beers in me, at least in my own mind. But when all that changed, it changed everything. And I found out I really was pretty powerless. But with the love of God and the Spirit of God, that I learned how to manage my life in a way that filled me with more joy. It gave me the gift of where before I used to not be at home in my own skin, I started to learn to be at home in my own skin. And where I used to be my own worst friend, I became my own best friend. I became a good friend to myself. And I slowed down in a different way. I never lost me. I really found me. But really, probably the biggest thing that happened to me was about 43 years ago. Another time I had my life interrupted. I was going in one direction, and all of a sudden, boom, I got hit right between the eyes when another gentleman looked at me and he said, "You know what? Jesus Christ died for you." And at that point, when I heard that Jesus Christ died for me, I said, "Well, I got to live in a different way than I'm living. I got to give my life and my will over to God." You see, I was one of those kind of people that believed in God, believed in Jesus, believed all that stuff. But as I always put it now, you know, I kind of had eternal life insurance, but I didn't want to get the eternal health insurance. The eternal life insurance was good. You know, Jesus paid the premium and it was all done and yeah, I'm going to heaven, but I could do everything else I want. Eternal health insurance was a little bit different. It was where all of a sudden, no, I had to turn my life and my will over to him every day. I don't always do that, but I do it a lot more than I did before, and day by day, bit by bit, little by little, somehow God comes closer to me, and I can find joy in things that I probably would have been upset about before. I don't feel like, you know, it's all about me. I don't usually feel like, well, I'm the center of the universe. I really know I'm not anymore. And it gives me the ability to have joy in the midst of everything. Although, to tell you the truth, I still make just as many mistakes. But I'm quick to forgiveness now, so I sleep a lot better. It even brings to the point where, you know, if you have that kind of sense of joy, you can be in the midst of the most difficult times and somehow know how to move through it. You could be like waiting to get operated on your femur with, you know, fractured out your whole life. I mean, just all messed up. And you could be in there and the doctor could look at you and say to you, "You know, is there any question you have before surgery?" And you can look at him and say, "Well, yeah, one. When can I go back to work?" And then he'd look at you and he'd say, "What kind of work do you do?" And you can square in the eye and say, "I'm a roofer." And laugh to yourself because you know you're not a roofer, and then tell him the truth that you're a priest. I guess what I'm trying to say more than anything else on this Christmas Eve is that when God interrupts your life, it's always for the better. But most of us don't pay attention to it. And I would venture to guess if you looked at your life right now, your life has been interrupted a lot. But you may never have really got the reason why. You may have come to the place where you thought, well, that was just irritating. Why did they break up my schedule? Why did that have to happen? I mean, how many of you hold on to stuff that happened 25 years ago and you never let go of it? How many still have voices from your mother or your father or your grandparents rattling around in your heads? And, you know, they're no longer even walking this earth. How many of you are quick to forgive? How many of you can let go? You see, God interrupts your life, and it's always for the better. And when you have your life interrupted by him, the beauty of it is he asks you for your life. But when he asks you for your life and you give it to him, he does take it, but he gives it back to you with everything except the stuff that was not helping you. And he says, try not to do that again. You see, the good news of Christmas is that God comes. Grace appears. The question is, are you open to it? Are you open this evening to having grace appear in your life? I pray that you are. And I pray that I am a little bit more than I was before. Because to tell you the truth, I got a long way to go. But I'm going to have fun the whole time. And there's going to be a joy. And it'll be an adventure. It won't be like punching a clock. Because I don't do that well with that. Merry Christmas this day. Know this, God's there for you. And Jesus came to this earth so that you could have access to that grace. God the Father became like us in Jesus so we could become like him. The question is, will we allow that opportunity to come to fruition in ourselves? As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that on this evening, you feel more open to God than you have ever done before. It'll be your own way. Doesn't have to be my way. Lord knows you don't want to go that direction. But let it be the way that God speaks to you and open your mind, but even more, open your heart. Because I promise you this, being with him really does give you life. And without him, usually you're just surviving. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.